Saints, today I read a testimony, and it's the testimony of Mr. Lou Burdett, the miracle testimony of God in the life of Mr. Lou Burdett. In fact, the lady that presented it said this. She said, in December of 1974, a horrific kidnapping occurred in my home county of Randolph County, Alabama. Things like this were not common occurrences. Folks were absolutely devastated, she writes. She says, I still remember Daddy, an Alabama state trooper in the county, getting the call about the kidnapping, and he immediately went to help. Praise the Lord that this kidnapping turned into an awesome miracle and a great testimony for a young guy named Lou, L-E-W, Burdett, who was abducted. Please take the time to read his testimony. And here it is, saints, in the words of Mr. Lou Burdett. He says, I grew up in Roanoke, a little town in East Alabama. I was your normal teenager. My world at the time revolved around football, girls, and school. Mama made me go to church. Daddy made me go to work. On Friday, December 27th, 1974, my life as a happy and content high school sophomore was turned upside down. It was 2 days after Christmas, and I was leaving work from my dad's grocery store at about 6 o'clock in the evening. Though the store's closing was at 8 p.m., I convinced my dad to let me go early since I had a date with a gorgeous cheerleader from a neighboring school in Wadley, Alabama. As I walked across the dark back alley street behind our store, two young men pulled a gun on me and forced me into a car at gunpoint. They proceeded to tell me that they were kidnapping me for a ransom of $250,000, and I wanted to know they wanted to know if my dad could get them the money that night. I knew this plan was not going to work out well, he says, but I had no idea of the events that would transpire. We drove outside the town limits, way out in the country, and down some backwoods dirt roads, finally stopping in the middle of nowhere. These guys directed me at gunpoint to walk down a dirt road and through a thick brush for about 30 yards. Within seconds after this, they ordered me to stop and wait. They struck me in the head with their gun, leaving a big gash and blood flowing. I was almost knocked unconscious and collapsed. After only a couple of minutes, one of the men slammed his fist into my chest. I immediately felt a sharp, piercing pain. I had been stabbed with a knife. Blood was now spilling down my stomach, too. I rolled over and he stabbed me in the back 3 more times. Blood was pouring out from all my wounds. With one guy on each side, they lifted me up by the armpits and began dragging me over the rocks, debris, and shrub and bushes. I wondered, where are they dragging me? All of a sudden, I was falling. They had thrown me in an old abandoned water well about 30 feet underground. Trying to cover me up, they began dropping large chunks of brick and mortar on top of me. The pain was excruciating as these boulder-like objects crushed my head and back. Soon, a flashlight shined down on me and they began shooting. The first 3 shots missed, but the 4th shot ripped into the back of my head. At this point, they left me for dead. For about 2 hours, I fought for survival in the bottom of that well, all the while experiencing an avalanche of feelings. hopelessness overcame me, and in desperation I fought to live. I screamed, I scratched, I clawed, pushed and pulled, but there was just no way out of that well. Nothing worked. I gave up any more attempts to get out and was giving up hope, sitting in freezing mud, muck, and water in the bottom of that well. I began reflecting on my life and realized how much I had taken for granted. I recalled all of the Bible verses and songs I learned in church that I was made, quote unquote, to memorize at a young age, even reciting them out loud. The verse that meant the most to me was Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Mr. Lou Burdett continues. He says, from that moment on, I quit worrying so much about dying because I knew God was with me. This was such comfort as I struggled to stay alive and to literally keep my head above water. I was so weak and near death that I did not have the strength to sit up straight in the water at the bottom of this 30-foot well. As I battled to remain conscious and to keep myself from sliding underwater and drowning, I reached up and felt a hole in the side of the well that I was able to grab onto. I wondered if there was any possible way that I could get my foot into that hole. I prayed and asked God to help me pull myself up as I slid my foot into the hole. He gave me the strength to pull up. I found more of these holes as I slowly and painfully worked my way up that well shaft, asking God to grant me the strength I did not have. He miraculously gave me this ability to climb out of that well. With the loss of blood, severe shock, and injuries I had suffered, there was no physical way I should have been able to climb out of that well. Paraphrasing 2 Corinthians 12:9, when we're weakest, He is the strongest. That's the only way I got out of that well. He continues, once out of that well, I asked God for the impossible again. Believe God for the impossible, that is, and began crawling toward a ramshackle house I had noticed back up the dirt road about a mile away. For 2 more hours, I crawled a few inches, on rare occasions a few feet at a time, crying out to God for strength and help. Life was literally draining out of all of my wounds. Finally making it to the dilapidated shotgun house, I beat on the door for someone to let me in. I could hear a car coming down the road that sounded like the one driven by the kidnappers. As the door opened, I collapsed inside the house, attempting to explain that these two guys tried to kill me, that I had been shot, stabbed, and thrown into a well. Within seconds, I could hear the car park out front. In walked the two kidnappers. Of course, I screamed, "Those are the guys who tried to kill me!" Thankfully, when the kidnappers saw me, they immediately turned and ran. Later, I learned that this was the home of one of the kidnappers' grandmother, and they were having an after Christmas family gathering. One of the family members took control of the situation and began calling for help. The area was so remote that the first ambulance got lost, and it took another 2 hours to finally get to me and get me to the hospital. After 2 more hours in the emergency room, where the doctors and nurses were trying to save my life, they gave me only a 5-10% chance to live until morning. The doctor told my parents that because of my extensive wounds, collapsed lung from the stabbing, loss of blood, and severe shock, I'd be too weak to survive. They predicted that even if I made it through the night, pneumonia and infection would set in, likely leading to death within a couple of days. I never experienced pneumonia or infection. Doctors could not explain my miraculous recovery. I was sent home from the hospital in less than 2 weeks. I was so thankful to be alive. I was so grateful for many things and people in my life that I had assumed would always be there. My faith in God grew stronger, and I no longer took my life for granted. December 27, 1974 was a pivotal night in my life that I will never forget and always remember. We all face difficult times in life. When we lose hope for a variety of reasons, failed relationships, poor health, abuse, personal failure, etc. We all experience pain, suffering, disappointment, and loss. It's just part of living in a fallen world. It's a bond we all share. It's a bond I share with King's Home residents, as they tell me I have no hope. For this reason, I count it such an honor and privilege to serve at King's Home to help victims of abuse, neglect, abandonment, and homelessness find hope in Christ from these devastating circumstances. One of our favorite verses at King's Home is Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Where God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And Mr. Burdett ends with this encouragement to each and every one listening. God has a plan. He has a hope and a future for your life. Well, what a blessing, what a miracle. God is so good. And though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, saints, we shall fear no evil, for God is with us, his rod and his staff, they comfort us. I taught my son something that Mr. Burdett was taught as a little child, and that's a verse that gives every one of us so much hope, and I always wanted him to have hope no matter what he might endure in life. It's the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, and it's recorded in Mark 10:27, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible."